sort of sobering to realize that it's been nearly 40 years since I started preacher school. And I was thinking this week about one of the first things I learned in preacher school, and that was a statement by the theologian Karl Barth, who said that a good sermon starts with the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. I guess that's when people still read newspapers and didn't have CNN and Fox apps on their phone, but nonetheless, you get the idea. Well, the newspapers this week have been full of pretty dramatic stories, largely of two groups seeking in many ways the same thing, but coming at it in quite different ways, the punchline to which is, those guys need to follow the rules. What rules? The rules of patriotism. The rules of social justice. Those guys need to follow the rules. Well, oddly enough, there's a wonderful little story in the New Testament, very early in Jesus' ministry, where Jesus addresses those who said, your guys need to follow the rules. From Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck ears of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Jesus knew the rules. He knew how others responded to the rules. And he pointed out that rules must always be understood in the context of human need. I have truisms that rattle around in my head from time to time, and the one that occurred to me especially this week is this, not from the Bible or any such text. If all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. If all you have is the Sabbath, everything looks like blasphemy. If all you have is a knee or a fist, everything looks like racism. If all you have is a flag and an anthem, everything looks like treason. If all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, I think this week it's time to put down the hammer. All of us. Put down the hammer and pick up a few other things. Not to mention, maybe, pick up one another. We'll get to that. Of all the things we might pick up, if we put down the hammer long enough to look, is a book. Now, perhaps the Bible, but I'm thinking of things more specific to those who are inclined to stand and those who are inclined to kneel. I would suggest pick up a book that might be in the other library as a way to open understanding. I would suggest as an example, for those who are inclined to kneel, pick up Tom Brokaw's book, The Greatest Generation, and read the stories of those who left ordinary lives to do an extraordinary thing, and together with countless hundreds of thousands of others, literally saved the world from single-minded ideology, from the hammer of tyranny. Pick up that book. To those of you that are inclined to stand, pick up Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail, in which, out of deep and dreadful experience, learned both the power and the necessity of nonviolent protest, and saw subsequently how we have gone from Jim Crow to Title IX. But it isn't even halftime yet. The journey goes on. The Greatest Generation letter from a Birmingham jail, if only to open up an understanding that we all have hopes and dreams, and we hope for and dream about pretty much the same things. You might also consider picking up some bread. Some bread, which is both literal and profoundly metaphoric. In just a second, we're going to pick up some bread, pass it around. And that's the kind of bread I'm talking about. The kind of bread that draws us together. And the eating of food always draws us together, whether it's around a family table or in a restaurant or around the table of the Lord. Because while man does not live by bread alone, we don't live long without it. And so it is a common need that we fulfill and share together. There is intimacy in eating. And Jesus took that level of intimacy with his disciples and gave it even new meaning when he spoke words over the bread and said, "This is my body." He said these words and declared that what we ingest is who we become. Now that's pretty philosophic and metaphoric. But the power of words is almost impossible to fully capture. Jesus said it, and it was so. Conversation that almost always occurs in the context of a meal can strengthen relationships. A couple of kids came up to me after class on Tuesday, and they, in their dorm room, they'd been watching Monday Night Football. And in the wake of that, said, "You know, we had very different opinions on what all that was about." But he said, "What we did is we had some pizza, bread, and we sat around the common room for a while, and we just talked. We just talked. Nobody changed their minds very much, but everybody understood a little better what we all knew to be true, that we all want a good life. We all want a safe place. We all want people to love us. We all want to be comforted when we're hurt." It was in the eating and in the talking, as they picked up some bread, that understanding started to emerge. Put down the hammer, pick up a book, pick up some bread, and pick up some blood. Again, metaphoric, or not, maybe even so much. In chaplain school, which was the second year of preacher school, I got some interesting and in many ways sort of frightening advice on dealing with people who are hospitalized. We were taught, and then we were actually given some techniques for this, we were taught that when it is possible, and it always isn't, but if it is, and you wish to pray with someone in the hospital, and you wish to hold their hand, gently take the hand that is punctured by the IV needle. In other words, gently hold and accept and touch where the blood goes. And that's a powerful image of acceptance and grace. I don't think it's any accident at all that the disciple Thomas, one of Jesus' most faithful, who had his faith completely obliterated when Jesus was killed, and the disciples fled hither and yon, that when they got back together in secret, Thomas wasn't with them the first time, and they were, Jesus came and stood among them, but Thomas didn't get the word. And when Thomas got the word, he said, "I won't believe until I touch where his hand was pierced." And as soon as he did, he said, "My God." And his faith came back to life when he touched the place where Jesus was wounded for his sake. I would submit that among all the things that are common in our life together is that we all have wounded hands. We all live with deep wounds that we have inflicted ourselves, that have been inflicted as we grew up, the things we've gone through, the things we have met and overcome, and mostly our deepest failures. We are wounded. Everyone here knows someone who has been devastated by the power of prejudice, satisfy the depth of anger. Everyone here knows someone who has been devastated by disrespect. The metaphoric and literal figure is the Vietnam vet that came back and was disgraced. Everybody knows these wounds. And regardless of the cause, these wounds feel pretty much the same. We are drawn together by the wounded hand. I would say at the last here that whether we are inclined to kneel or stand, we should do both. I think all of us should first kneel. We should kneel before Jesus for two reasons. One, to kneel before him with contrition, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's not news. That's St. Paul in Romans. And we have maybe done so even this week. Because you know that hammer is pretty seductive. Especially if you are in a position of power and you have a soft target, that hammer feels pretty good. I have said from a position of power at Texas Tech to my students a couple of pretty heinous things this week for which I need to kneel in contrition, because that hammer feels pretty good, and we all know it. To kneel with contrition and kneel with gratitude that Jesus every time says, pretty much, I've been there, I get it. And that blood you feel, I've shed it for you. Kneel with gratitude that he reaches out his wounded hands and enables us to stand up. Kneel before Jesus first and stand up with each other together. To stand up for the wounded and on their behalf. To stand up with the wounded, because we are all among them. Put down the hammer, pick up a book, some bread, some blood. Kneel before Jesus, stand up with each other, together.